Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to ENN, which on this Monday evening is brought to you by our friends at All American Ford. Don't forget to check them out, allamericanford.net. You can get your brand new Ford from the comfort of your couch and have it hand-delivered, boom, white glove service right to your driveway. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
The kids call it Little Daddy, which is what Jody calls me sometimes, too, but
excuse
that's
me?
Another story.
I'm not surprised.
Then we'll say good evening to Don.
Don't let the door split you where the good Lord split you.
Awful.
Outrageous.
I would prefer we don't play that anymore. I'm deeply uncomfortable with it, with that moment. Speaking of things I'm deeply uncomfortable with, let's hear earlier in the show when, before we went to commercial, I tried to help Michael out by giving him information to make us not look foolish, and he treated me like I was human garbage.
Take some phone calls and Don's Daily List at 5:45, ENN at 6.
And by the way,
we'll also have the results of Drop Madness.
Garrett Cole's wife.
1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you.
Oh. Well, what do I do, Don? Do I bother coming back tomorrow?
Well, I didn't hear you, buddy. I wasn't ignoring you. Your mic in my ear is very low. Don comes out strong.
Really?
I didn't hear you. I feel awful now. Won't come in tomorrow.
I'm lower than Don in your ear?
Yeah.
We got to do something about this. Don, it's horrifying to hear, though, isn't it?
It was awkward, but there's the delay.
I know.
And yeah,
it was
horrifying. You do come in a little lower than Michael does to me, too. I definitely would have heard you. But
well, I'm turning myself up. What about that? How do I sound now?
Terrific.
Much better.
I just turned myself up. Anyways, so there's a lot to talk about in the world of sports, guys. Not just me making a fool of myself, but also we have Drop Madness, your final opportunity to vote right now. Twitter.com/TMKSESPN, your opportunity to vote for Drop Madness. And it took forever, but we finally have a result of Charles Barkley's coronavirus test. And Barkley has put out there that he got his COVID-19 test results and they were negative. It was a statement released by Turner Sports. He said he'd like to thank everyone for reaching out and expressing concern. I mean, listen, I think at this point we all knew Charles Barkley was okay, right? If he had had horrible symptoms and was in trouble in the hospital, we would have found out. I think what's most interesting about this story is that even Charles Barkley, guys, he took the test a week ago.
I know.
Like, that's a crazy amount of time.
I mean, the NBA players got it in a second. Rand Paul, the senator, got it that same day. The vice president and his wife got it that same day. Why does it take days and days? I know somebody who's been waiting 6 days for the result.
It's wild. I don't understand it either. I really don't.
I mean, is it the difference between going to like a regular wait online for a doctor or if you go for like a private test? I'm sure what the NBA did, they probably just had a private test.
Well, yeah, they said it was. They didn't go to a public facility. It was a private facility.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, so I maybe Charles, because Charles just said he happened to go in New York and he went and got tested. So I guess it depends on where you go and this condition you're in. But you know, some of these people are waiting so long that by the time they find out they have it, they don't have it anymore. Or they don't have the symptoms anymore.
So I found out that an event that I went to 2 weeks ago Wednesday, I have now found out that more than one person at that event, which wasn't that big an event, has COVID.
Right.
And you guys remember about a week after that event, I got sick. And I was probably at my sickest, midweek last week?
Yeah, I think so.
And as you can hear,
Wednesday, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. And as you can hear, you know, I'm still not 100%, but I'm listening. I'm not complaining. I'm totally fine. But I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe this is my version of having it, and I won't know, which is annoying. There's nothing we can do, though. I'm not going to waste a test on me or bother wasting, you know, important people's times dealing with me when I physically don't have anything to worry about at this moment. But it is still annoying to not be able to just get a test and find out. And New York's doing a better job testing, they say, per capita than like anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, so it's just there's just so much unknown. I mean, that's what really drives you crazy, right? If you knew how long we had to wait, then we could wrap our mind around it. You know, if we knew exactly what we were dealing with and the dangers and the symptoms, we can deal with it. It's just that unknown of not really being 100% sure about anything.
And
Boris
Johnson,
this is going to be.
Boris Johnson has told the United Kingdom no leaving the house anymore. They bare essentials as infrequently as possible. The entire United Kingdom has really gone into lockdown mode. So it's just a matter of time of how long we want to wait for us to do it. I think the longer we wait, the worse it's going to be. Although now they're saying that Trump wants to try to restart the economy. Even though the health experts...
He tweeted that out earlier.
What does that mean? Is he saying, like, end the social distancing?
Like, at the end of the 15 days, he says it's... you know, he didn't say with any certitude, but he kind of hinted that it's time that we go back to work. But if the curve hasn't been flattened... And I think that Lindsey Graham actually tweeted out that if people are still sick, the economy will not be jump-started. So hopefully people that have the president's ear will make it pretty much known to him that it's not the move. People are still getting sick.
Yeah, and
the Surgeon General came out today on the Today Show and said this week is going to be terrible and next week is going to be even worse. Well, so by the end of the 15 days, it's still going to be bad.
Yeah, you're just hoping that we get more information. Yeah, we understand it's going to be bad because more and more people are being tested. So if more and more people are being tested, more and more people are going to test positive. That's going to raise the number, right? But to me, I understand that. I get that. We just have to know exactly what we're dealing with. I guess the more people that get sick and the more experimentation with the doctors, and we can just learn a little bit more information moving forward. But I was wondering about this over the weekend, guys, like getting back to normal. You know, we definitely saw the world change after 9/11, right? There's a post 9/11 world. We know that from the security at airports to access to buildings. Like our life changed. How will our life change here? Am I going to have to explain to the twins that there was once upon a time we shook hands? Once upon a time we'd see somebody and we'd hug them? Is that going to remain part of our culture, or are we just all going to be a bunch of germaphobes when this is all over and we're not going to want to do the social greetings that we did before? Are people, once the all clear happens, are they going to want to sit at a game next to a stranger where they're like physically touching that person? Because the way these buildings are, Michael, you're sharing the same armrest. Are people going to want to fly as often as they did before? Like, how exactly will the new normal look like? What will it look like?
I won't miss the handshake. I won't miss the handshake. The hug of someone I'm fond of, I would miss. The handshake, I'm fine. It's just like rubbing germs together. At least a hug,
it's gonna
you
be
feel
the
an emotional connection.
It'll be the elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that just becomes the new normal. Or
the bow, like they have in Japan.
Do you think they'll say, by the way, love the bow. When I came back from Japan, I was bowing galore. It just feels a little awkward because no one knows why I'm doing it. Do you think that your children will also ask, why during the time when they were telling people to not be near each other, do they have 15 people standing on the stage together?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
The IOC has set a four-week deadline to decide whether or not to postpone the Tokyo Games. Yet again, playing with Tonka trucks, deciding whether this could still happen. Of course, it's not going to happen. Canada has said they will not send their athletes to the Olympics if they are held in 2020. And it is sad, and I am bummed out for the athletes. But at this point, guys, think about the disadvantage, depending on the sport that you're at and depending on what your training regimen is like, to not be able to be working out right now. How could you compete in a competition so intense when you can't train right now?
No,
and that's why, you know, Christine Brennan, USA Today, earlier, right before we went on the air, talked to longtime IOC member Dick Pound, and he told her it's going to be postponed. I mean, they haven't made any official announcement, but he said it will be postponed.
I think it has to be. I just think you kind of, I guess you take a look at the window that you have and take advantage of it. Like, you know, and just hope that maybe things change over the next couple of weeks. I guess you don't want to postpone something and then take it all back again. But, yeah, I would think that I can't see things changing over the next couple of weeks. Now we're going to be talking about being into April and just being just a few months away from it. And then how many more countries are going to back out between now and then?
Sean Payton was on Good Morning America, the first NFL personality to tell us that he has COVID-19. Let's hear how Sean Payton is feeling.
I'm feeling okay. I would say it's been a week today that I got tested. So it's Monday. Mostly fatigue. When I went in last week on Monday, I had more chills. I had a little low-grade fever. Certainly felt like I had the flu, just as we all would know what that feels like, where you just want to lay in bed and not do anything. And then gradually during the course of this week, I would say I've progressively gotten a little better each day. I haven't had to deal with any respiratory issues. And then Thursday is when I found out the test came back positive.
Again, everyone's experience with COVID-19 just seems to be completely different.
Yeah.
I saw a video of a 26-year-old woman, a friend of a friend, or a cousin of a friend of a friend who had contracted it a week ago. And yeah, her experience was just utter and complete pain. It had been completely painful, like down to the finger bones, like mm-hmm. every single day, just filled with pain. So it just seems like everyone's having such a vastly different experience, but good to hear that Sean Payton's doing okay.
But I guess of all the things that you don't want to get is the respiratory part of it. I guess that's the dangerous part. You know, the fever and the chills and the aches and the pains and the fatigue, you know, that's, I guess, stuff that you can deal with, but it's the respiratory stuff that's dangerous,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, scary no matter what. So the XFL has announced that their season was officially over and the rest of the inaugural season had been canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. And now the first XFL star to make it to the NFL has been exposed. It will be P.J. Walker, a quarterback from the XFL, will reunite with Matt Rhule in Carolina. And he is the first XFL player this time around to join the NFL. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. The most famous of the first batch of XFL players, Rod Smart, a.k.a. He Hate Me, also right. went to Carolina.
Yes.
So history repeats itself. Rhule coached Walker for 4 years at Temple. He's 5'11". He's one of the XFL's best players this season. He led the Roughnecks of Houston to a 5-0 record and led the league in passing, 1,300 yards and 15 TDs. Cool story, though. You know, that was one of the things we talked about, just the opportunities for guys who may be NFL worthy, who just wouldn't have any other way to show what they can do.
He took advantage of what little time they actually had.
Patriots captain Devin McCourty says he's confident in QB Jarrett Stidham. Yes, Jarrett Stidham, a.k.a. the guy everyone's pretending to know about this week, who no one had heard of about 9 days ago.
Who's this?
But he was on the Double Coverage podcast, and he said he has confidence in Stidham and shared some of his experiences from 2019 with the former Auburn star. Quote, to me, the best thing for Stidham was that he had to go in, he had to go against our defense every week. He did not have it easy. Double Coverage is McCourty's podcast with his brother and teammate, Jason McCourty. He said, I love his poise. I would be taking a blitz sometimes, and we make eye contact, and he just starts smiling and laughing. So I really admire how hard he works. And then I've gotten to know him off the field as well. He's a really good guy, young guy, very mature. Stidham was drafted by the Patriots last year, and he was elevated on the depth chart. The Patriots also have Brian Hoyer and Cody Kessler. But the name everyone seems to be talking about is Jarrett Stidham.
Hmm. And he already has a nickname.
What is it?
Stiddy.
Stiddy. Is that true?
That's what McCourty called him, yeah.
Is he a Yankee?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that such a Girardi nickname?
A Yankee under Joe Girardi, because everybody had an E at the end.
Did you think in our Riddick interview, Peter, that he was kind of drinking the Patriot Kool-Aid just a little bit?
Yes, I was just going to bring that up.
They're going to be fine.
He said they're going to have double-digit wins no matter what.
Yeah, they're going to be. And I keep looking back to that attitude, how was that attitude at the end of the season? You know,
you could make the argument it's a little different, Don, with Belichick, as opposed to things kind of changing as the season went on, him having this entire offseason to figure out what they have and just believing that they will at the very least be a solid team.
But the and listen, I'm a Belichick guy, and I would probably be the one that would say Tom needed Bill more than Bill needed Tom, okay? But we all go back to that 08 season with Matt Cassel as our jumping off point. Well, that team had a perfect season the year before. This is a Patriot team that was reeling offensively at the end of the year. And now you're going to hand a kid, you know, the keys to what exactly? You know, so, yeah, defensively they'll play well. And listen, I don't think they're going to go 3-13. You know, Bill will probably have them better than he should. But to just think, oh, well, just mark them down 11-5, 12-4. You know, Jets stink, Dolphins stink, Bills stink. No, it's a different division now. The Jets are up and coming. The Bills are, I think, right now on paper better than New England. So we're in a different world now, man. I don't think you just fall back to the old premises around Bill Belichick.
But you'd have to agree.
It's going to be the same.
Riddick is not a drink the Kool-Aid type. He really believes that.
No. That was probably a bad phrase. I think he believes everything that he is saying. I just think he's basing a lot of it, just like you are, Michael. I mean, you're no Patriot guy. But you're banking on the Patriots because of their long history of Bill always seeming to get it right. He's probably the greatest coach in the history of the four major sports. But what we saw at the end of the season, that logic didn't help them beat Miami in Week 17, didn't help them win their playoff game at home. And that's all we heard going to play. Ah, they'll figure it out. When they get beat, I'll believe it. Well, they got beat, and it doesn't seem like people are believing it.
We're talking Patriots. Seth Wickersham was on ESPN earlier saying Tom Brady really just needed a change.
He wanted clarity. Said, look, I'm playing until I'm 45 years old. Tell me if it's here or not. I'm fine with it, whatever. And that's been the case for years. If you guys want to move on, peace out, I'm gone. The thing is that, like, you just had, you know, a contrast in extremes, and there was always going to be tension. You have Tom Brady, who has said publicly many times wants to play until his mid-40s and desperately wants to live up to that. Versus part of the genius of Bill Belichick, which is always knowing the right time to move on from a player. And that was extended a bit under Tom Brady. There's a lot of people who just didn't want to believe this. Patriots fans, media members, people who believed that it would happen in some ways didn't want to believe it. People within the Patriots and Tom Brady's inner circle. This is what happened, though.
Now, in the story that Seth wrote over the weekend, which is a must-read for football fans, quoted Tom's dad a couple of years ago, said, this isn't going to end well. He was right.
Yeah.
It must be very tough playing for a guy like Belichick, who probably never pats you on the back. And I've always said this about bosses. If I have a boss that tells me when I do something well, I'll be much more attentive when he says I did something wrong. But when it's always negative, negative, never negative, and you never said, well, you just did that well, then it becomes white noise, I think. And maybe after 20 years, it became white noise. It just wasn't fun.
And
the winning
funny.
Is fun.
It's funny, like, speaking from my experience, I've had a couple of really positive bosses, and as a result, when they're negative, it's much more impactful.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I mean,
and also you run through a wall for them.
Right. So my two current program directors and Tim, our GM, are all very positive day to day. So when I get a text at some point saying, hey, can I talk to you about something? Or they want to pull me aside and say, hey, this isn't good. I go, oh, man, I better do that differently. Because 7 days a week, they're telling me things are good. When it's not good, I want to improve it. And, yeah, you're Tom Brady. You're 43 years old. You're the greatest of all time. 9 appearances, 6 Super Bowl trophies. How often do you really still feel like being treated like a kid?
I know, but look at our business, Peter. You know, I think recently, because we've had a lot of success, there are people that are very complimentary. But wouldn't you look back, especially you, Michael, through our career together in the 20 years or just our careers period where, like, the whole no news is good news, that this isn't really an industry where you get a lot of patting on the back. You more get called out for your mistakes than doing your job well. So I'm kind of cut from that where, like, if you're not telling me anything, then that's a compliment. Like,
I don't know if you felt this way. Even when we were struggling to, you know, find our way and, you know, we were on a station that didn't have a great, I thought management was always very positive.
No, don't get me wrong. They were positive. But just in this business, Michael, it's not like you're done with your shift and you get applauded. You know, it's just that most of the time.
I've been fortunate. You know, the two places I work, you know, John Filippelli, he's a big you did a great job guy. Mm-hmm. And then when he tells you didn't do a great job, you, as Peter said, you sit up and take notice. He is always a positive reinforcement guy. So I've known that for now for 19 years. Peter, can I give you a trivia question in the middle of BNN?
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting.
So the Patriots released Steven Gostkowski, their kicker. He's one of three players in NFL history to appear in at least six Super Bowls. Can you tell me the other two?
He's one of six players to appear in how many players?
At least six Super Bowls.
He's one of three players. One of three players in six Super Bowls. Gostkowski. Well, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's one. He's in nine. The other one, you will not get under any circumstances.
You don't know me.
All right.
Is he a player I know at least?
I don't know. I don't know you, you said.
Good point. What era?
90s.
90s? Could he be someone who was on the Buffalo Bills for four?
Yeah.
Who was
he? He's a former Bill.
Bill who went and played in two more Super Bowls with another team.
Right. Cornelius Bennett.
No.
Don, you have any idea?
I'm trying to. If Michael's saying you won't get it, then it's probably somebody that.
No, he's a significant player.
He's a significant player.
He's just not a big name.
Not a big name. I don't know.
You don't know if you give up or you don't know?
No, I give up. I don't know.
Mike Lodish.
Mike who?
Lodish. L-O-D-I-S-H.
Nope,
four with the Bills
that.
And lost all four. Then he went to Denver, too. He's a nice man. So only three players in NFL history.
Mike Lodish sounds like someone who would have been someone I knew from synagogue. Just a nice kid. You know, the Lodishes. Oh, my mom would say, the Lodishes are, we're going to go to the Lodishes for Shabbos this week.
He's a legitimately nice man.
Was that a Bud Light commercial back in the 90s where there was a guy that played or was on every Super Bowl winning team but never got in a game?
Remember Budweiser Nips over Gypsy Pond behind Clixies.
I guess you're too young to remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember. But that was
you
a fun.
You haven't done the WWE story.
Well, it's not nearly over yet.
He's done.
No, I'm not done, but I don't know which story you're about to do. You're talking about
WWE.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Is offering free access to the WWE network because they know people are stuck at home.
I like wrestling.com.
Including every past WrestleMania for a limited time.
I have the WWE network. I not only appear on the WWE network, I'm not only a client, I'm a member. I'm not only the president, I'm a client. Love the WWE network. And if you have the opportunity to get it for free and watch all the classic content, could not recommend it more. And Don, can you keep your eyes peeled and get us the ratings for WrestleMania yesterday on ESPN?
Yeah, I can look for that.
They aired WrestleMania 30 in its entirety last night on the mothership, and I'm curious to see what the number was. Because Michael, you know if it did well, you know I'm plotting to do content.
Of course.
Are you guys ready?
It certainly helped out the fact that Triple H was like promoting it.
Well, yeah, everyone was. I mean, it's a big deal. And I think they're trying to turn around and use that to promote WrestleMania, which is going to air on the WWE Network in 2 weeks. They're not dumb. They're figuring out how to make this a big, impactful moment. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Panthers, who have moved on from Kyle Allen, traded Allen to the Washington Redskins for a fifth-round draft pick. Kyle Allen played under Ron Rivera in Carolina, and now they are reunited in Washington.
Tough blow for the Cowboys just comes out.
What's that?
29 years old. Their center, Travis Frederick, has announced his retirement.
Wow.
Five-time Pro Bowler.
Travis Frederick's leaving?
Yeah.
That's a dagger for them.
Yeah, that's big.
He's a big piece of what they do. You know, the center is a very important position in football. I don't know if you guys know that.
I've heard that.
Guys, it's time to update you with Drop Madness results. I can't say it's the most impressive voting outcome I've ever seen because, frankly, it's disgusting. But I have winners in the Michael region. The 3 seed.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Advances 71-29 over...
the Pisarczyk handoff to Zonker?
Wow. Then you, see, to me, that's an upset.
Singing Drake is an upset over Zonker?
I thought Zonker is an amazing drop.
Well, you'll be happy to know there is an upset in the next matchup. The 11 seed. 56-44 winner over the 6 seed.
Alex Rodriguez was a baseball player. He knew how to play baseball.
How was that a 6 seed? Again, I hate to tear into Andrew, but that's disgraceful. That's a fireable offense.
I'd never heard it before.
Yeah, we never played it. So how good of a drop could it be?
Well, here's a drop we all know. The 3 seed in the Peter region. Wind Horse at Sea! 63-37 winner over Are You Serious?
It's really.
And so, Don, you get what you wanted. The 3 versus the 6. The 6 seed has advanced.
Yeah. Wind Horse in Space!
Over, wow. Kevin Cabrera.
This is Kevin Cabrera and Lamar Hurd.
Calabro.
This would be like the sequel being better than the original. As does happen sometimes with Godfather 2, Godfather the original, but can Wind Horse in Space beat the original?
No, you know what this is to me, Don? This is a random second round game. It's like Virginia versus Virginia Tech.
Ooh,
you know? Okay. It's schools that have some association and you feel weird seeing them together. It's Kansas versus Kansas State. It's Texas versus Texas Tech. You get the idea. But yeah. We're going to see the 3 seed.
Budweiser Nips over Gypsy Pond behind Clixies.
No. I was still referring to my 3 seed.
Wind Horse at Sea.
Up against the 6 seed.
Wind Horse in Space.
I think that's a 7:30 game on TNT. All right.
Oh, yeah. That's Vince.
So we go to the Don region where you do have the 3 seed.
Budweiser Nips over Gypsy Pond behind Clixies.
Behind Clixies, a 74-26 winner over.
Wow. Don't talk to me that way.
Tough out for Don't Talk to Me That Way. However, Don't Talk to Me That Way's twin brother, the 6 seed.
I was making an art. Dead.
A 72% winner. A 72-28 over Klingon Jones.
Klingon Jones.
Not Klingon Jones.
Well, guys, it's always fun to see Ebro lose. The 14 seed.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
Well, you are a lost cause in this case because the winner is the 3 seed.
Hi, guys.
I'm telling you, that 3 seed could be dancing in April. I'm saying it right now. I believe High Guys could be dancing in April.
I agree.
And lastly, an upset. The 11 seed, Andrew.
No, because I've had it.
With the big win over...
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Wow, that's very interesting. People love Andrew.
They love Andrew. So a 52-48 win for Andrew's I've Had It. And that is your Drop Madness update for today. We only got 1,700 votes per. We've seen these numbers as high as, you know, 3,200, 3,300. So I'd like to see a better turnout tomorrow, but I'm still happy. And tomorrow we will pick up with more Drop Madness action.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.